Tzadik Tes Amid Aleph, about 10 lines from the bottom, the Gemara quoted the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Rav Loza Hamadoi Oimer, that there are different people who have no chelek in Olam Haba. So one of them was that the Kuris, and one was Megala Panim HaTorah Shaloi Kahaloch. So the Gemara assumes that the Megala Panim HaTorah Shaloi Kahaloch is a greater chayte than the Apikuris. What sense is he a greater chayte? So that's what the Gemara is discussing on the bottom. Tzadik Tes Amid Aleph, about 10 lines from the bottom, the Gemara quoted the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Rav Loza Hamadoi Oimer, that there are different people who have no chelek in Olam Haba. So one of them was the Apikuris, and one was Megala Panim HaTorah Shaloi Kahaloch. So the Gemara assumes that the Megala Panim HaTorah Shaloi Kahaloch is a greater chayte than the Apikuris. What sense is he a greater chayte? So that's what the Gemara is discussing on the bottom of Tzadik Tes on the base, the last 10 lines. So one opinion was that Apikuris is a mevazeh chaver bifnei talmid chacham. He's so disrespectful of the Rabbanim, it doesn't bother him to be mevazeh someone else in the presence of the Rabbanim. And the Megala Panim HaTorah Shaloi Kahaloch v'Zerger, that's mevazeh talmid chacham himself. That's even worse. But the other opinion of the Gemara says that Apikuris is the one who's Megala. The Apikuris is the one who's Mevaza Talmid HaChachamim. Mevaza Talmid HaChachamim, that's an Apikuris. So what could be worse than that? What's considered worse than that? What's Megala Panim HaTorah Shaloi Kahaloch? So the Gemara says, Pashut, like Menashe Ben Chizkiyon, that he makes fun of the Tanakh. He says, the whole Tanakh is not Min HaShemayim. The whole thing is a joke. We mentioned when we started the Perek, we usually use the term Apikuris in the sense of the way the Rambam uses it, a person who doesn't believe in the Ikari HaAmunah. More, and we have a din apikuris, din ka'akum, shchitos and nevela, and so on, din meshulchan aruch. So the Maharil writes in the tshuvas that when the Gemara says here that apikuris is the one who's mevaza tamid chachamim, he doesn't think that is shchitos and nevela. We mentioned there's a tshuvas Maharil that the sheikhet in town, the local sheikh, was once mevaza the rov. So the shayla was, they're going to say shchitos and nevela, so no one can eat the flesh. How can it be? So he says, no, it doesn't mean that it's an apikuris in the sense of apikuris din ka'akum. What it means is that one is mevaza tamachacham. Deserves the same punishment, deserves to get an oinash chomer like an apikuris deserves. But if not, the mevaz tamachochem, the Gemara never meant to say he's really an apikuris. The one is really an apikuris, like Menashe ben Chizkiyah, Chizkiyah Melech. His father was an Ovid Abed Azor Ochos. We learned the Gemara in the Mems, I think, but the Gemara says, Girat Mesavim al Mita Shal Chavolim, he was mevaz of the father after he died, in order that the father should get a kapora. And then his son was also an apikuris. Menashe ben Chizkiyah's son was also an apikuris. And during the lifetime of Chizkiyah, there was an unusual tzaddik, and he got everybody in Eretz Yisrael to learn some pelotic parsha in history. How before was Avod Azar, and after was Avod Azar, and in between, Chizkiyah HaMelech was not only not Avod Azar, he was Marbitz Torah Barabim. That the Gemara said earlier, that the men, women, and the children, everybody knew Tanakh, everybody knew all the laws of Tumah Latar. So the Gemara says that this Menashe ben Chizkiyah was a real apikuris, a Bible critic. He didn't believe that the Tanakh is Min HaShemayim. He was chepping the psuk. So the Gemara says, of course, that's worse than that's considered worse than one as mevazeh talmid. The Gemara asked the kasha later, how can it be? How can it be that Chizkiyah HaMelech was such a marbit Torah Barabim, and how can it be that his son was an apikuris? So the Chizkiyah may say, because the Gemara says he was supposed to sing Shira. He didn't sing Aligan. If you don't sing Zmiris, if you don't sing Nigunim at home, so then your children may believe it turn out to be apikuris. You can be the biggest Talmid Chacham in the world, marbit Torah Barabim, say the biggest Shurim, the biggest Topulim and everything, but if you don't seek Nigunim, but that's not what it means in the Gemara. That's Avit, that's Chassidish Avit. The Gemara says, the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to make Chizkiyah HaMelech, thank you, wanted to make Chizkiyah HaMelech into the Melech HaMashiach, and Sancheirat's armies was going to turn out to be Gog and Magog. And then the Midas HaDin said, no, how are you talking? How can it be? He didn't sing Shirim. That's why the Mem, the Marbi HaMisra, the Mem Mistumim, because it didn't open his mouth. So the Gemara, the Pashup Shad, the Gemara doesn't mean that he didn't sing a Nigun. Gemara says because he didn't, he wasn't Makatayvat HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This question the Gemara does, yes. Hayitochen, how can that be that Chizkiyahu HaMelech was such a tzaddik and such a Talmud Chacham, and his son turned out to be an apikoros? So that's what the Gemara raises that issue on the next daf, on the top of Kufalof on the base, on the second line. Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda l'chol ha'olam kula limetor l'menashe b'nal lo limetor. What happened over here? He was such a marbitz Torah barabim, and to his own son he didn't teach Torah, because the son of Ketshepit on Agoda Shal Doifi, he didn't believe in Torah Menashe Hamayim. He was making fun of the Tanakh. So that has to do with the Melamdim and the Yeshiva. If the Melamdim teaches properly, so then they'll have Muna and Tanakh. If you have Apikurisa Shem Melamdim, so it's no good. So if Chizkiyahu HaMelech succeeded in Habatzis HaTorah all over Eretz Yisrael, so what happened by his own son? The Chisorin with his own son was a Chisorin of learning in the Torah. What happened? So the Gemara says, the Gemara has a whole Agadah when they came to the bottom of Kuf Aleph and Aleph. The Gemara has when the Tanna Rab Lezer Agoro was about to die, the last 8 lines on Amud Aleph. Tanna Rab Onik, Shchola Rab Lezer, that's Rab Lezer Ben Hurkinis. And they had put him in Nidui. So when he was about to die, so the Tanoim came to visit him, Rav Tarfon, Rav Akiva, yeah. The Gemara has earlier also, the previous Perek, that they came to visit, the end of Perek Arbemis, they came to visit Rav Lezer as he was about to die. So they were saying how great he was. So then Rav Akiva made a comment that the Rebbe is suffering. So he says, Chavivin Yisur. He said, it's a wonderful thing when the Rebbe Shalom gives suffering to people, so the Yisurim is Mechaper. So Rav Lezer says, where did you get the Amalei Akiva, Zum and Ein Lecho, where did you get such an idea, where did you get such a concept? Chaviv and Yisurin, so he starts explaining about Menashe, and he raises this question on the top of Kuf Aleph on the base. What happened over here? That Chizkiyahu HaMelech was such a marbitz Torah barabim, L'chol ha'om kula, limitor, l'menashe b'nao, lo limitor, the problem of Menashe was, in the area of Havanas HaTorah, Limit HaTorah. So the Gemara says, no, the answer was that the Yisurim can accomplish more, and the Rabbanu Shalom only got Menashe to do tshuva when he gave him the Yisurim. So that's how the Gemara fears Toysavis. So the Gemara doesn't say because he didn't sing Zmiris. That's Achsidu Shever. That doesn't at all fit into the Gemara. So here the Gemara continues with this, with the who is the Mishnah referring to by the term Apikoros? The Mishnah here refers to people as Apikoros. Mishnah Perkei Avos of Laza Hamadoyim, first the one who is Megal upon the Matorah Shalot Halacha, who belongs in which category? So then the Gemara says, Madiyama Mevaze, Chaver Bifnei Talmud Chacham is also Megal upon the Matorah Shalot Halacha. One opinion in the Gemara that the worst madrega, the galapanim atarish shalak halacha, is not only one who the Gemara said maybe a mevaza talmud chacham is an apikoros, and the worst madrega, the galapanim atarish shalak halacha, that's the Bible critic. He doesn't believe the Torah Menashe Hamayim like Menashe ben Chizkiya. But then another opinion in the Gemara, just in usage of the terms, it's no nafkamina l'vayis over here. In usage of the terms, so one amoira says no, one who is mevaza talmud chacham is also called Mevaza Chaver Bifnei Talmud Chacham. They're all called Megala Panim HaTorah Shaloi Kahaloch. So what's less than that we're going to call him, what can be terrible, but it's less than that we call that Apikoros, fake the Gemara, Apikoros Kigol Man, so who's an Apikoros? So the Gemara says an Apikoros is one, it's not actually Mevaza Talmud Chacham, it's not Mevaza Chaver Bifnei Talmud Chacham, it's not that disrespectful, but the Gemara suggests maybe he makes a comment like many Balabatim. He says, "My Hanalei Rabbanon, what good is it that the rabbis sit and learn? They did two koru, they learn Tanakh, Mikra, and they get the reward. They did two tonu, they learn Mishnais, and they get the reward. It has no effect on us. Everybody says like that. All Balabatim say, what are we supporting all these Rabbanim, all these Kelumim? What good is it for us? They don't help us. They learn Tanakh, they learn Mishnais, it doesn't help us. So the Gemara says that's not outright Mevaza Talmud Chacham." But it's clearly disrespectful, so that's a lower level of Mevaz Talmud Chacham, so we'll call him an Apikoros. Instead of calling him an upright Megal upon the Matorah Shel Kalacha, we call him the lower Madrega of only Apikoros. Omalei Abaye, so Abaye asks his Rebbe Rav Yosef, what do you mean? One who says, Maya Hanala Rabbanon, that the rabbis sit and learn in Yavinkel, and it doesn't affect us, doesn't help us, so why should we support these rabbis? That's also in the Galapanim HaTorah Shalek HaLochim. Mamash HaKayfer in Tanakh. He doesn't believe in what it says in Tanakh, because it says, in Lo Brisa Yomam V'Loi L'Chuk HaShemayim V'Oretz, Loi something. So the Gemara in different places has different levels of interpretation in that Pasuk in Yirmiyah. Not for the Bris, the Rebbeinu Shalom says, not for my Bris, I wouldn't have created the whole world. So the Mishnah in the Dharm has one level of interpretation. It goes on Bris Milo. Lo Brisa Yomam V'Loila. How does it feel in Yomam V'Loila? Bris is only by Yom, it's not by Loila. And after you do the Bris, the baby has the Mila by Yom and by Loila. So one interpretation is the Mishnah in the Dharma goes on Bris Mila. Another interpretation, the famous interpretation, the Gemara says it goes on Bris HaTorah. If not for Liman HaTorah, Chukashmai V'Oris Loi Samte, the Baruch Shalom would never have created the world. But Liman HaTorah is what keeps the world going. Yeah. So the Mephoshim Adan over here, I think the Mashah adds it on, that the Gemara says in the end of Perek HaNizokin, based on a pasuk in the end of Parshas Kisisa, Lekoras HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bris Yisrael El Al Torah Shabal Peh. Ksav Lekoras HaDvarim HaEla, Ki Al Pih HaDvarim HaEla, Kroati Yitcha Bris Ves Yisrael. So the Gemara Taitshin, Ksav Lekoras HaDvarim HaEla, write down the Torah Shabal Ksav. Ki, despite the fact that Ki has different interpretations, often Ki means because, and often ki means despite the fact that, just the opposite from the pshat ki because. Like the pasuk says, Tuv tamad aslam deini, ki b'mitzvah secha hemanti. What do you mean ki? So the Mimi says pshat on the pasuk in Mishli, Rabbanu shel olam, teach me the tamei hamitzvahs, tuv tamad aslam deini, explain to me, let me be able to understand the tamei hamitzvahs. Despite the fact that mitzvah secher monte, I have a mun, I'm going to do the mitzvah anyway, whether I understand or not. But give me the ability to understand. And Ibn Ezra has other psukim in Chumash also, where the word ki means just the opposite from because. It means despite the fact that. That's also in Kisisa, so a few other psukim like that. Ki means despite the fact. So that's how the Gemara in the end of Perek HaNizokin has one Amar lines like that. Ksav l'chas advarim hela, write down the Torah shebichzav. And only Torah Shebichzav, don't write down Torah Shebal Peh. Dvarim Shebal Peh, you're not supposed to write down. Ki, what do you have to write down Torah Shebichzav? Despite the fact, ki, al pi hadvarim ho'ele, karati itcha b'isveis yisod. Despite the fact that the Kriyas is bris with the Klal Yisrael, we're going to be on the Torah Shebal Peh. And the Torah Shebichzav is really for olam u'soilom, like the Gemara says in Soitam, Perek Elan Amorim, that Yeshua Benun had to write down Kol HaTorah Kula on the Avonim in Gilgal, and he had to write it by Heitev Yishivim Loshim. So what do you mean Yishivim Loshim? What do you need Yishivim Loshim for? So the Gemara says, so that it'll be available for all the Yomus Olam to read. Whoever wants to read should see what it says in the Torah Shebichzav. The Gemara says, you're not allowed to teach Torah to the Torah Tzivolona Moshe, Marash Kilos Yankiv. You're not allowed to teach Torah to the Yomus Olam. That goes on the Torah Shebalpeh. The Torah Shebichzav, it would appear from the Gemara that that's open to the public. That should be made available to the Yomus Olam. So that's how the Gemara teaches that the Kriyas Bris, Moshe Rabbeinu is commanded to write down the Torah Shebichzav, even though it's not so much of a shaychus to the Bnei Yisrael. By us, the Ike Krisis Bris is really on the Torah Shebal Peh. So that's how they say over here, Malo Brisa Yom V'Loila, if not for the Bris on the Torah Shebal Peh, Chukah Shemayim V'Oretz Lo Yisamti. The Ike Krisis Bris with the Bnei Yisrael is on the Torah Shebal Peh. So that's usually what the Rabbanim are busy doing. The Gemara says that the Rabbanim are Lididu Korah, Lididu Tonah. They're learning Mikra and they're learning Mishnayis. Koru means they're learning Mikra, and Tana means that they're learning Mishnayis. But the main occupation, main preoccupation of the Rabbanim is that they're spending time learning Torah Shebal Peh. So that's what the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, Abai quotes the Pasuk, what do you mean? Such an attitude that the Rabbanim, Maya Hanala Rabbanim, what have they accomplished for us? They don't accomplish anything, they sit and they learn in their corners for them. How can that? It's not so, he says, against the Pasuk in Tanakh, it's like a real Koifer and Torah Shebichzav. It says in Torah Shebichzav, if not for the breeze of Torah Shebal Peh, Chukish my voice loy samti, the world wouldn't continue to function, the world would collapse. So Itayna is one who has such an attitude. By Hanalei Rabbanon is also Megalaponim HaTorah Shalai Kaloch. Amnachma Yitzchak says, based on another Pasuk also, Mehochanamish Mamino, you see from the other Pasuk, by Sidon, when Avram Avinu is begging with the Rebbeinu Shalom, Malayesh Hamishim Tzadikim, maybe 45 Tzadikim, maybe 40 Tzadikim, and so on. So Rebbeinu Shalom says, okay, Manasasa Luchala Makoim Babu Rom. So you see that there's a concept that the Tzadik is Megan on the door. Yeah, but Tzadik who sits and learns in his corner, even if he doesn't teach you any Torah, but he's Megan on the whole generation. here. That's the Pasha Pshat in the Gemara, that the Tzaddik is, that's how the simple understanding of the concept, that Tzaddik is Megan on the whole door, is Megan on the whole city, is Megan on the whole generation. I don't remember, did we mention this? Svasemis has on Tainus an interpretation. He quotes from his Zedef and the Ger Rebbe. It's a very unusual twist how he understands the Tzaddikim. There's an Agadat and Tainus where the Gemara says that there was a city where half the city burned down and half the city was spared. And Rab, I think, lived in the half of the city that was spared. So the Gemara says, and you shouldn't think that it was in the schus of Rab that half of the city didn't burn down. No, it was in the schus of a Fruma doctor, that there was a doctor who didn't charge too much from the patients, and whoever couldn't afford it, so he treated them for nothing, and whoever couldn't even afford the medication, it cost money for the medication, he would treat them for nothing, but they had to pay buy medication in a drugstore. So whoever couldn't afford the medication, he would give them money to buy the medication. He used to keep the men and the women separately, because you have to undress a little bit when you go see the doctor, so he was very careful. So the Gemara says, again, Afruma doctor, so in his chus, the other half of the city didn't burn down, not in the chus of Rav. So the Marsho Shtalzach and the Gemara, how did they know that it wasn't in the chus of Rav? Maybe it wasn't in the chus of Rav. Why do they have to knock down Rav and build up this doctor? So the Sfasemis and the Chidushim Al Hashas has a comment there. So he says he heard from his aid in the Chidusharim, Ataych and Emerish, the Bereshis Rabbi says, when Avraham Avinu is begging with the Rabbanu Shom, Olai Yesh Chamishim Tzadikim Mitochuyev, so it says, Tzadikim Nidle, Shvacha Tzadikim Fekes, Fekes. So the Chidusharim asked, what do you mean it's Fekes? The Rabbanu Shom is going to spare the whole city because of the Tzadikim. So what does the Medrash make a comment, Tzadikim Nivli, that they're fakers? Real Tzadikim. So Tzadik is making on the door. So he told the Yusharim, told his grandson, the Sfasemis, that the Taitch in the Medrash is that there is no such concept of Tzadikim are making on the door. Why should a Tzadik be making on the door? Tzadik deserves a Hatzolah, so the Tzadik will be Nitzah. The others don't deserve a Hatzolah, so they won't be Nitzah. But if he's a Shvacha Tzadik, if Tzadikim Nivli, Shvacha Tzadikim, so he deserves a Hatzolah, he deserves that he shouldn't die. But he doesn't deserve that he should be so bolate that the whole generation, the whole city is going to burn down and only he's going to be Nitzal. So in the schus of the tzaddik deserves a Hatzolah, so Rav Shalom has to make it look as if it's not so bolate, so more people will be Nitzal. So that's why Avraham Avinu was mispal, Olai yesh chamishim tzaddikim, maybe there are tzaddikim nivli in the city, the ha-knapet tzaddikim, shvachet tzaddikim, halvet tzaddikim. 50%, they deserve Hatzolah, but they don't deserve that it should be so conspicuous. So Agav the Tzadikim will have to leave the rest of the city also. So the Tzasemis writes this over. He heard from his grandfather. So he says, now he understands the Pshat in the Gemara. If it would have been in the Schus of Rav, the whole city would have burnt down. Only Rav's home would have been intact. But it was only in the Schus of the doctor. The doctor was a finer doctor. He deserved the Hatzolah, but he didn't deserve that it should be so boldly, that it should be so conspicuous, that only Rav's home and his home. The two tzaddikim as if he's equal to Rav. So the Baruch Shalom had to cover it up, so half the city didn't burn down. So he just did away with the whole concept of a tzaddik making on the door. He says, it's only tzaddikim nivli who deserve a hatzolah. Here the Gemara seems to say, al pipshutoi. The Gemara gets angry here. Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, this is megal upon a matarish alayka aloch. Anyone says that the Talmidei Chachamim who sit and learn in the Beis Medrash, the two Korah, the two Tonu, they learn Tanakh and they learn Mishnayis, and it doesn't have any effect on the rest of the people in the generation. That's Mamlish Megala Ponim HaTorah Shalok Halacha, because it's against an often a pasuk in Bereishis that it says that the Tzaddik is Megan on the door. So what do you mean? Because the Knapet Tzaddikim. The Gemara means to say the higher level of a Tzaddik, so the more he's Megan on the door, not the lower level. Pashim Shad and Gemara is not like that, not like the Chidush area. It's very strange.
What Shad is so-called understanding is involved in the city, not isolated.
Okay. The Seichel here. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Otherwise, why should he be making on the door? Okay. Yeah. Anyway, the Gemara says, what could it be? If everything is Mekal, Panam, HaTorah, Shalai, Kalocha, so what's Heistan Apikurus? What's a lower level? What's Heistan Apikurus? So the Gemara says, maybe the following. That he's slightly disrespectful to the Rebbe. Slightly disrespectful. The Rebbe's giving a shiur and learning. And then they once discussed this topic when they learned a different Masichta. So the Talmud, instead of saying, when we learned the other Masichta you said this and this, or the Rebbe said this and this. So he says, when we learned the other Masechta, we said, we learned Pshat like that. What do you mean we learned Pshat? The Rebbe learned the Pshat. The Talmud didn't say the Pshat. A lot of people talk like that. So the Gemara says that's considered slightly disrespectful. Outright disrespectful, Mevaza Tamachachachim and Mevaza Chaber Bifnei Tamachachachim. That's the higher level of Mekalpanam Atarshal Akalocha, that Gogit Velachim. The lower level of Apikoires, that's a lower level from Mekalpanam Atarshal, that's one who says, Kikon Yasin Kami Rabbi, Menopoli Shmaita Beduch Tachviti. It comes up a topic that they discussed in another place. This is the way we said when we learned the other Gemara. So what do you mean? Instead of saying, this is the way we said, you should have said, this is the way the Rebbe said. The Rebbe should have said, you said. It was the Rebbe's pshat, wasn't his pshat. The Gemara says that's a slight insult to the Rebbe. Or the Gemara gives another marshal. There was a Fruma doctor, but he used to always say, a lot of Balabatim say this, I hear it all the time, every week I hear this, a pizman, that they have the time, and Maya Hanala Rabbonim, Orthodox people, they say, Maya Hanala Rabbonim. The rabbis, they never come up with any new chumras, they never come up with any new kulas. Usually the Balabatim want kulas, they don't want chumras. They say, Maya Hanala Rabbonim. The rabbis that just say over what it says in the Tanakh, nothing new. Lo Sharalon Orvo, they never mat their tray for bird. Well, the Asrulon Yonah, they never came up with a twist, nothing new, everything stays the same. A good rabbi is the one who knows how to go with the trend of the time, and he knows, like Hillel made a prusbel, and so on and so forth. You got to know how to go with the time, changing halacha and changing times. So if the rabbis are not prepared to change anything, not luchum and not lukul, so what good is the rabbi? So the Gemara says that's a lower level of disrespect towards the rabbi. Maybe that's called an apikurus. The Gemara says the rabbi used to be the rabbi in this community where this doctor, where this fruma doctor lived, and the fruma doctor used to son shaila sometimes to the rabbi. So on some occasions when it was a shaila and he had a paskan lechumra, so he said, you see, I asked the yayna for you. Because it was questionable. So he said, you see, I asked the yayna. Sometimes another case is when he was mata. So he said, you see, I was mata the oirev. I was mata the trefet bird. Because the balabos understood on his own that it's a borderline issue. So Rabbi used to say jokingly, because he knew that this balabos used to always say like that. So he said jokingly, see, today I was matir a raven, and on the other occasion, say, today I asked a yoina. Yeah.
Now, Kuf Yud Aleph, there's a discussion between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan, and the same discussion between Rav Kahana and Rav over whether Ephraim is Dr. Kolek or Kulek. So, Now, Kuf Yud Aleph.
I mean, this issue is, it was a debate. Is there such a concept that the tzaddik is making on the door or not? Okay. Could be that's the pshat there, that's right. Now, Papa Amar, about six lines in the top, Papa says, what's a lower level of being the Baza Tamachachim that it doesn't qualify to be in the Megalapanam Atorah Shalak Aloch, but it's still called an Apikoris? What's a slight disrespect for the Rabbanim? If you go on the Yama, Hani Rabbanim, those rabbis. I have to say it like that. Those rabbis, people always talk like that. Those rabbonim, and then they never finish the sentence. But you know what they mean to say. Always complaining about all the rabbonim taiknish. So the Gemara says, on one occasion, Rapapa himself used such an expression. Rapapa ishtali, on one occasion, Yom Kugon Hani Rabbonim. And he felt so bad. Why, he didn't mean anything by that, but he used the lashon that's slightly improper. So he fasted a whole day, because he felt he needs a kapar, like the Gemara says in Shomratza, if you drop your tefillin, and the Gemara says, Amorim, we put on tefillin, sometimes they were half asleep in the morning, they put on the ritzu upside down, and instead of having the black on top, they would have the white on top, so the Gemara says, they would fast 40 taneisim. The Gemara says, that's where the meaning comes from, if you drop the sefer Torah, you drop the tefillin, so based on that Gemara, the Mogen Avraham calls Tachoinim, that you fast. So this also, whenever a person realizes that he did something wrong, and he needs a kaparis, if it's in Indian, the Ace of the Tanis, he first had a Tanis. The Gemara gives another marshal of being disrespectful to the Rabbanim. So the Gemara says, on one occasion, a group of Talmidim, Levi Bashmul, Rabbanu Barchi, have become Mesaknin, Mitpuchois, Sifri de Be Rab Yuda. And his base medrash, they had Sifri Torah, Nevi'im, Uksuvim, and they were making mentalach for all of the swarms. So they thought, Kimot, Megillas Esther, is not, that's how the Marshu interpreted, they assume the Gilas Testa is not Mitame Sayadayim. What's the reason why Tanakh, the Mishnah and Yodayim, has a machlokes between the Tzdukim and the Prushim? That's one of the 16 cases that's explicit in the Talmud, that there was a dispute between the Tzdukim and the Prushim, where the Kisra Kodesh Metamin is Hayodayim. So the Chachamim said, Sifri Homer, Homer's books are not Metamin is Hayodayim. Junk, comic books are not Metamin is Hayodayim if you touch. But if you touch a Sifri Tanakh, it's Metamin is Hayodayim. So the Tzdukim said, how can it be? A book by an apikor is not Metamin is Hayodayim, and the Heilige Tanakh is Metamin is Hayodayim. So the Tanoim explained, because Oiches Sefer Torah Orum Nikbar Orum, you're not allowed to hold on to the Sefer Torah with your own bare hand. And if, so they wanted to prevent people from holding on to the Sefer Torah with their own bare hand. That's the Gemara the last daf in Megillah. Oiches Sefer Torah Orum Nikbar Orum, he won't get schar for that. Doesn't mean Nikbar Orum, the Gemara is going to... Orum in a mitzvah. He doesn't get reward for that mitzvah. He was learning Torah, holding on to the Sefer Torah with his bare hands. He was holding on to the cloth. Without a hefsik, without a chatzitz of a mitpachas in between. So this din that is matamis hayadayim only applies to Tanakh, where there's an iser not to hold on to it with the rumbe hands. On Megillah Esther, there's a machlokes tanoim bamaroim in the first parak in Megillah, where the Megillah Esther is part of the Tanakh and not part of Tanakh. We assume that it is. In Maskonas Agma, we assume it is part of the Tanakh, and there are 24 kisvei hakodesh. And according to the other opinion, only 23 kisvei hakodesh. And Esther is not Metamei Sayadayim. So these Talmidim assumed on their own that Megillah Esther is not Metamei Sayadayim. So you're permitted to hold on to it to be with your bare hands. So there's no need to have a mentalah around the Megillah Esther. What do you need a mentalah for? The whole need for a mentalah is in order to prevent people from holding on with their own bare hands. But it's not part of Tanakh, so there's no prohibition of holding on. There's no din of kavod asvarim over here. So they assumed on their own they're not going to make a mitpachas. So instead of asking the Rav in the Beis Medrash, who is Reb Yudah? Sifrei de Beis Medrash, the Sifrei HaTanach and Reb Yudah's Beis Medrash, instead of asking, should we make a mentalah for Megillah Esther, should we not? They said, we don't have to make a mentalah for Megillah Esther, do we? They were already assuming the psak, they were already assuming the answer when they were saying the question. They presented the question in such a way that Shelas Chochem was a Chatzi Tshuva. So they were talking as if they're the Chochem. They understand on their own that there's no need. So the Gemara says, Ki hai gavna nami mechzi ki av kirusim. That's also a slight bizoin to the Talmud Chacham. When you have a shaila, so you should ask, what's the din? Not that you should make the assumption on your own, what the Talmud is already paskening us the din, and he's asking the Rebbe, this is the din, isn't that correct? You should ask as if you don't know anything. The Gemara says that's considered a shtickle mevaz the Talmud Chacham. Nachman Om also what's considered a slight form of being Vaz Talmud Chacham, Akori L'Rabba Bishmo, calls his Rebbe by his name without saying Rebbe Pliny. Says Pliny. He refers to him the same as everybody else. Somebody put out a book, he kept on writing about Rabbi Soloveitchik, he calls him Soloveitchik, Soloveitchik, Soloveitchik. So when the printer wanted to put out the book, so they knew that there's a rabbi in Queens that has a lot of photographs. So they wanted some photographs that they called Rabbi Roy Albert. So he said, what do you mean? I'm going to get a photograph of that guy's book. He keeps on calling the Rebbe Soloveitchik, Soloveitchik. What kind of currency is that? He's not going to give. That's what the Gemara said. Akoya Rabbi Bishmai. He's a Mavazah Talmid HaChacham. So the Gemara, that's a lower level of Bizoin Talmid HaChacham. Lower level. Well, that's only an apikoros. A real Mavazah Talmid HaChacham is Mekalim HaNamata HaShalek HaLocha. Akoya Rabbi Bishmai is only an apikoros. So the Gemara said, who was the one who did it? That was Gehazi. Gehazi was the Shamus of, he was the Gabbai. Of Elisha HaNavi. So the Pasuk says that he was punished, that he and his three sons became Mitzrayim because of a different Maaseh, because of Chil Hashem, when Naaman Saratzova was healed, and then he wanted to give a big maton out of Hakaras HaTayif to Elisha, so Elisha turned it down. So then Gehazi was watching the way he leaved, and he chased when he left, so he chased after him. And he said, the Rebbe changed his mind, give you all the money, all the silver and the gold, and I'll take it, I'll give it to the Rebbe. And then he pocketed it. The Rebbe didn't tell him he changed his mind. So because he made such a chil Hashem that he took the matana. So that's why Elisha HaNavi told him a curse that the Tzaras Naaman Tidba Becho, he became a Mitzorah, and his three sons, that's the Haftar, Abba Mitzorahim, or your Pesach Shar Shomron. So the Gemara says, Abba Mitzorahim, or Gehazi Yishlosh Hezbonim. So that's one oinish that he got. But the Gemara assumes that he had another oinish. On another occasion, if they man, he had a different oinish. Why? not for that aver, for a different aver that he used to call, Rabbi Bishma used to call Elisha by his name Elisha. If he would have said Reb Elisha, okay, that's okay. But he didn't call him Rebbe Elisha, he called Elisha. So that's disrespectful to the Rebbe. Yom Gechas Adon HaMelech, he was talking to the king. He says, Elisha is Rebbe, no, Shehechia Elisha. So he says, he should have said Shehechia Moriv Rabbi Elisha. He just calls him Elisha by the first name. That's a Bizoyin Talmid HaChacham. So now the Gemara wants to know, is the following considered a slight form of Bizoyin Talmid HaChacham? Is the following case also Afkirusa? That is also like an Afkirusana. So the Gemara tells a story that one of the Amoraim was commenting, the Pasuk in Yecheskel, that Losi Lovoi, a river will come out, a Nachal will come out from Kodesh HaKadoshim, for the Evnish Shesiyah. That's what happened, that was just 2 years ago now. The Arabs were going out of their mind. The whole stream of rivers started coming out from the Dome of the Rock, from the Evnish Shesiyah. They didn't know how to stop the water. But here the Pasuk says it's going to flow a whole river, Losi Lovoi, on both banks of the river, there are going to be all kinds of trees growing and all kinds of flowers and vegetables. Tremendous. So he said, so the Rebbe said, so he was telling over this story. It's a pasuk in Tanakh. So what did he just said over our pasuks? There was an old balabas. When Rabbi Yirmiyah was saying the Sova, so he says, good gezok to Rabbi, I heard the same thing from Rabbi Yochanan. There's a pasuk in Tanakh, so what do you mean I heard the same thing? You can hear it from anybody who knows Tanakh. So the Marsha interprets that one could have interpreted the pasuk in Yecheskel as being Derech Melitza. So what he heard from Rabbi Zera was, Rabbi Yirmiyah was in the presence of Rabbi Zera. So Rabbi Yirmiyah was saying over, "Asher Kadosh Baruch Hu Hotzi Nachem Es Kodesh HaKadoshim," that the pasuk is to be taken literally. This pasuk is to be taken literally. That was the chiddush that he said, that you shouldn't interpret it figuratively. That it's only derech mashal, like it says in the first perek in Tehillim, that a tzaddik, let's say, it says tzaddik katama yifroch. Hey, really, tzaddik is going to grow like a date tree? Or it says, the tzaddik is going to be like a tree planted near the river. The tzaddik is going to be stuck, his feet are going to be stuck in the ground, won't be able to move. No, it's a mashal, not to be taken literally. So one could argue that maybe this is also just a mashal, not necessarily to be taken literally. So that was the whole chiddush of Rabbi Yirmiyah, that he said, no, this pasuk is to be taken literally. So the old man says, Yashir, good gezok, I heard the same thing from Rabbi Yochanan, that pasuk is to be taken literally, as opposed to other psukim, which are not, which we know, that's the truth. There are other psukim not to be taken literally. Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Zeris, Rabbi Yirmiyah had a shaila. Is that mechzik af kirusa? What's the issue? What's the issue here? Whether the sova, the old man's commenting on the shtikl Torah that he said that this pasuk is to be taken literally, why should that be mechzik af kirusa? So the pashup shat in the Gemara, the chora is, the Rebbe says a whole drasha, and then one of the Talmidim is listening and says, yeah, Rabbi Yisachar Friend said the same thing when he gave a drasha last week. Or he says, another Talmud Chacham said the same thing. What do you mean? But I'm saying this now. So that's, if you tell me that Moshe Rabbeinu said the same thing, okay, that's gevaldik. That's if he says an Arishan, says it in early say, but you tell me a contemporary of mine says the same thing. Why is he bigger than me, that's considered a support to me? I'm also a big person, so I say it on my own. What do you give me? Rabbi Yechon said the same thing. So Pashup Shat is that this is what he raised the question, is this considered a slight to the Talmud Chacham? Is this considered a bit of a bizoin to the Talmud Chacham that he gives the Talmud Chacham a Yashikayach, and plainly says the same thing? That's not an insult. It's not an insult. I thought that was the Pashup Shat. The Marsha here gives a whole interpretation. He thinks that it doesn't mean like that. He says that all the Apikurism always take all of the Tanakh as a mashal. Throughout all the generations, we have in the Tshuvas HaRashba, when they had the big fight over studying philosophy, And they put the Mor HaNevuchim in Cherem, that no one should study Mor HaNevuchim, because people got so wound up. They were studying Mor HaNevuchim, and he's saying, this is not to be taken literally, and that's not to be taken literally. He said, let people so far astray. People said there was no such individual as Avraham Avinu, it's just a mashal, and Yitzchak is a concept, and Yankiv is a concept, everything just concepts. Next thing you've got to say, the Baruch Shalom is a concept, and Moshe Rabbeinu is a concept, and everything is Lavdavka. Shabbos is a concept. Kashu is a concept, Taras HaMashpach, well, it's all concepts, and nothing to be taken literally. So there were people who got very carried away. So that's why they made the Cherem on the Mor HaNevuchim, because they misunderstood what's to be taken as Malitza, and what's to be taken literally. So the Marshor thinks that that's what's going on over here. The Balabas said, yeah, good Rebbe, the fact that he was masking with the Rebbe, that Rebbe Yechanan said, Rebbe Yechanan is a higher authority. So that he didn't, the Marshal doesn't consider that a slight to the Talmud Chacham. But he considers, not initially a slight to the Talmud Chacham, it's a shmecht von apikursus, if he says, yeah, this pasuk is taket to be taken literally. What do you mean this pasuk? Roiv of the Tanakh is to be taken literally. When it talks about Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMashpach and Tzitzis and Tefillin, that's what it means, Kipshuto. And Avraham Avinu did exist, and Yitzchak existed, and Yankiv, and David HaMelech, and Shlomo HaMelech also existed. All the Apikursim deny that the only thing they admit is what they're forced into admitting. But they're forced to, whatever they're not forced into admitting, so they deny that anything ever existed. So the Mashal thinks that was the Shara that he asked. Isn't this Mechzikav Ki Russo, Ki Hai Gavna, the fact that the Balabas, the Sofer, the old man, is only prepared to say that this pasuk is to be taken kipshuto, implying that many other psukim in Tanakh are only Moshe Lamlitza. But it happens that it's so. There are other psukim in Tanakh that are just understood as Moshe Lamlitza. So Amalei, Sir Reb Zeira, tells Reb Yirmiyah, what are you talking about? What's wrong? A good gizok, this Sofer said right. Hosayui komisayaloch. He's not contradicting what you said. Rabbi Yirmiyah said that the pasuk is to be taken literally. So the Sofer says, Ye Yasher, the Chenam Rabbi Yechanan. So what's so bit? He's masking with what you said. And he supports you, and he quotes the Rabbi Yechanan and said the same. So that he says, that's not considered Bizoyan Talmid HaChachamim. What would constitute Bizoyan Talmid HaChachamim? The following story. So the Gemara tells, Alakiho, Elishmialoch, Hoshmialoch, if you heard that something is considered Mevazah Talmid HaChachamim, it's the following story. So Rabbi Yechanan was once giving a drasha, and he was giving unbelievable, fantastic dimyonis that Lo Asei Lova, they're going to be such pieces of jewels, that are going to be so gigantic, and they're going to make gates for Yerushalayim, or windows, they're going to make windows for Yerushalayim, they're going to be 20 Amos, how does he say? The room Esrim, what, 10 Amos wide and 20 Amos tall, is going to be in the entrance to Yerushalayim. So the Talmud was listening, legally go all the Talmud. So one of the Talmudim was listening, and he thought, that's ridiculous. How is it possible? These jewels don't exist so big. When you go to the jewelry shop, so they have teeny weeny and slightly larger, a diamond. How big? You can't have a diamond 10 Amos by 20 Amos. It doesn't exist. So the Talmud was laughing. It doesn't exist such a thing. Hashtag Ebay said, it's still a lot of mashkechin, and you don't even find such a jewel the size of a teeny weeny egg of a little skinny bird. Kuli hai mashkechin, how am I going to find such a jewel going to be 20 amas by 10 amas? It's ridiculous. And the Talmud was laughing at the Rebbe. This Talmud happened to go on a ship, and he went on a trip, and then when he was in some area, somehow we saw malachim. What a malachim, malachim, you see in the ocean, you don't see in the dry land, it's a very strange gemara. He saw malachim, and they're working on such gigantic jewels that are so big, and he says, what are you doing? So they said, they're preparing these jewels for the Shari Yerushalayim. Mamish, exactly the way Rabbi Yechanan described. Gigantic jewels, and they're carving out the gates for Yerushalayim. So when the Talmud came back, Kihodar, the second white line, when he came back to Eretz Israel from the long trip, he meets, bumps up with Rabbi Yechanan. He says, the Yosef Kadosh, Rabbi Yechon was holding Nochat Rosh. So the Talmud says, Rabbi Yechon, Rebbe Drosh, Alucho Noelid Rosh, you should give Droshes because you know what you're talking about. Originally, I didn't believe that what you said could possibly be true. It's impossible. But now I went on a trip and I saw the Malachim, and they're preparing. Now I see that it's true. So the Gemara says, that's called the Mevazah Talmud HaChachomim. Amalei, so Rabbi Yechon tells him, Reiko, Shekitz, Levi Kikop, And by Risa Lohe Amanto, you don't have Amunas Chachamu, you think I'm making it up, I have a tradition, or I see that that's what it says in Tanakh, you're a Malagla Kaldiva Chachamim Mato, and he got angry at him. And because Rabbi Yochanan got angry at the Talmud, so he died. Yoib Le Beyene, Rabbi Yochanan looked at him angrily, Vasoi Gal Shalat Talmud. It means that he died. So the Gemara says, that's called an apikurs. The one who contradicts the Tamachachim, even the Tamachachim is saying something wild. It sounds like it's utterly ridiculous. How can you have there are no such jewels that are so gigantic? Still, he's not allowed to be malaglik on the Tamachachim. He should have had a munas chacham. The Gemara affect Akasha. What good is it going to be if the gates are going to be 20 amas tall and 10 amas wide, but the people are going to be gigantic? We have psukim that imply that the people are going to be 200 amas tall, 100 amas tall. So how are they going to get in? How are they going to enter into a gate that's only 20 amas tall? They're going to have to bend down. How can you bend down and crawl on the ground if you're 100 or 200 amas tall? It's impossible to get in. Morris says, no, they're going to be different. A gate for the people to walk through is going to have to be gigantic. But this is only going to be a window to let the air through and to let the light, the sunshine come in. So you don't need such a gigantic window that people should be able to go through. So that's why it only has to be 20 amas tall. It doesn't have to be 100 or 200 amas tall. Strange. The Gemara assumes that losi lava. Vaylacheskim karnimius means that people are going to be 200 amas tall, going to be 100 amas tall. Gemara takes this literally. Gemara understands it literally. Then the Gemara wants to know, what does the phrase mean in the pasuk in Yecheskel, that was quoted before, that there's going to be a Nachal Yoytzim Beis Kodshei HaKadoshim, is going to be a stream, and on either side of the stream, on both banks of the river, is going to be all kinds of trees and flowers and vegetables growing, all kinds of things growing. The Alehu Litrufo, and the leaves are also going to be of value. The leaves of the trees that grow, not only the peris will be of value, because the peris will be, Komin and Begodim will be very sweet, even Alehu Litrufo. Trufa usually means medication. So the Gemara wants to know, what kind of a medication is it? So the Gemara understands somehow that the word trufa is a composite of two different, it's a composite, a compound word that's made up of two different words. The second word is peh, and the first word, litru, is lahatir, either to open up peh shal maila, to open up peh shal mata. What does it mean? So the some kind of a medication, they'll get some medication from the leaves of these trees. They'll be either cure people who are unable to speak, that's the Peshal Milo, or Peshal Mata refers to Akoris, women who are unable to have children. So this, the alim, the leaves of the trees that will grow, will cure that disease, will cure that sickness. And the other Amoraim had a different interpretation. Litrufa means Litora Ponim Shal Balei HaPeh. A lot of times the Gemara is going to say soon, and the very next line, Talmid HaChamim, who really sit and learn, so they don't take care of themselves, they don't exercise, and they don't, they're not so careful about their diet, and they gain weight, and they don't shower as often as they should, and their face is often dirty, and they're not good looking. So the Gemara says, the next memory is, Kol HaMashche Ponav Al Divrei Torah B'Olamaz, if a person becomes Pashvarts, his whole face becomes... There's no mitzvah to be a slob when you're learning. A person should try to be neat and clean and so on and be healthy also. But a lot of times people go in their interest in learning more, to learn Bahasmoda, so they forget about themselves and they don't take care. So if a person will be mashche panav al dibre Torah b'olam hazeh, if he will lose his beauty, he won't be, Talmid Chacham won't be so handsome. B'olam hazeh, because he's so busy learning Torah, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'olam haba will be mavik zivo. He will regain his beauty, l'olam haba. Then the Gemara says also, one who is hamar v'atzma al-divrei Torah b'olam hazeh. Normally people go to work and they earn enough money to eat food. Sometimes Talmid Chacham are so crazy about learning, crazy in a positive sense, they're going to sit and learn. So they don't fast every Monday and Thursday, they'll throw in another day and they'll fast. They won't be so medactic, so they're going to lose weight, they'll be skinny, they'll be undernourished, they'll be look awful. Hamar v'atzma al-divrei Torah b'olam hazeh. If a person does it, it's not right that a person does it, but if a person does it because he's absent-minded, because he's so involved in learning, so HaKadosh Baruch will be Masbir Lo'olam Haba. His reward will be that Lo'olam Haba, he will be healthy. He will regain all of his health. So that's something more suggests, maybe Alehu Litrufo means the alim, the leaves of the trees that are growing, that will be growing on either side of this river that's coming out the Nachal Yotzeh Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim, maybe L'Tshuva means L'Hatzeh for Toya Ponim. That's going to be L'Olam Abo. That's going to be L'Olam Abo. The Talmid HaChamim who suffered B'Olam Hazeh because they were busy learning, they didn't have a chance to take good care of themselves, so somehow they'll make some kind of a medication from these leaves, or the lita leaves, or whatever it is, and it'll help them regain their ziv. Like the Gemara says, one is mashcha ponim b'olam hazeh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give him a beautiful tayar ponim. Mavik zigo b'olam abo, so maybe that's what it means. The trufa goes on that. Then the Gemara says, the reward that the tzaddikim are going to get that b'olam abo is going to be unbelievable. Also, HaKadosh Baruch Hu likun chotzak tzadik melo amsa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take fists full of the Rebbeinu Shlomo's fists. Rebbeinu Shlomo is going to take his fists, the whole world. Rebbeinu Shlomo is going to take fists full of teiva and give it to the tzaddik. So the Gemara says, how can it, as it says, Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, Yam Oslono, Hakel Yishu Hashem Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch will be Mam Oslono. He's going to pack in so much and give us. And the Mashua Adzan, Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, Yom Shal HaKadosh Baruch is Elif Shonim. Rebbeinu Shlomo is going to take 1,000 years worth of teiva and give it to the tzaddikim lasei lov. So more effect akasha. Chiyef shaloi makein. Amalei Abai. So Abai asks Rav Dimi, how is that possible? Physically possible? Like on Nemar, the Rebbeinu Shlomo is so great. Mimodad b'shalamayim, m'shamayim azeres tikein. How can the tzaddik have a place to put all? That's the Rebbeinu Shlomo is going to give him so much teiva to the tzaddik. Where's the tzaddik going to put all of it? He doesn't have the kelim, he doesn't have an apartment, he doesn't have rooms that are big enough to put all of this teiva. If Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to give low amsa, so the Gemara answers, Aya Abaye. Rav Dimi said, Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, and Abaye effect me. I'm going to give chol tzaddik v'tzaddik, each and every tzaddik, each and every ohev. I'm going to give each tzaddik yesh, and yesh begin matria is 300. Different name. Yeah, I mean it's not really part of the Mishnah. So the Hastus, a few Amorim said the same thing. So the Mishkan Kasha, why didn't he quote that? Yeah, okay. What does it mean? What is it not called? Both are going to give called Tzadik Tzadik. So the Netziv has a fantastic comment. I don't think it fits in this Gemara. The Netziv comment. Different name. Yeah, I mean it's not really part of the Mishnah. So the Hastus, a few Amorim said the same thing. So the Mishkan Kasha, why didn't he quote that? Yeah, okay. What does it mean? What is it not called? Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to give called Tzadik Tzadik. So the Netziv has a fantastic comment. I don't think it fits in this Gemara. The Netziv comments on that Mishnah in Uktzin. Some of the mafarshim make cheshbonis like that. 310 is half of 620. Yeah. So some of the mafarshim on the anyak make such a cheshbon. So the Netziv has. It's interesting. The Netziv was Rishim and Valojin, and he had all kinds of people. Valojin was for 90 years. So in the late years, when it was under the Netziv, that's the Balojin that we are real familiar with. That had all kinds of people learning that. The Yalek was there for a short period of time, and other people were there. They didn't let Jews go into any universities. Anyone who was interested in anything intellectual, some of them were not so frum. So they used to all go to Balojin. So they were all reading all kinds of books on the side. Even those who were Talmid HaChamim were also studying all kinds of books on the side. So then they used to search in the dormitory. Used to have a gabbai whose job it was to confiscate all the svarim achitzonim that didn't belong. that some svarim chasanim are aser. If someone was studying economics, okay, he needs a parnasa. Economics is kosher. But those who were reading novels, so they would confiscate the books and they wouldn't give it back. They have in this svarim, they write over that. They gave the Gabbai wasn't so learned, they gave the Gabbai a list of prohibited books that they're not allowed to have. So one of the books that was also was a novel by Mapu, I think, it's called Abbas Tzion or something. Shivas Tzion, Abbas Tzion, I forgot already what it was. So one of the Brochim had a sefer that was called Abbas Tzion. So they confiscated, the Gabbai confiscated the sefer, Abbas Tzion. So he said, what do you mean it's a sefer? What are you confiscating? No, the Rosh Yeshiva said he has to confiscate. So he confiscated the sefer and he came to the Netziv and he said, here, you had the sefer in the dormitory, he's not allowed to have that. So the Netziv opened it up, he saw that's a sefer, it's one of the Achareinu, what are they confiscating? So he had to explain to the Gabbai that it's two different swarms with the same name. How's he going to explain if Ashtet Kain and Yonamish? So he said, the sefer that's Osir is the Abbas Tzion that's printed in block letters. But this sefer is printed in Rashi script, so this one is okay. It's a sefer, it's a regular sefer. So they used to have people in Volozhin, some of them used to read, Rav Baruch Epstein, when he learned in Volozhin, so he used to read books on economics, and then he became a banker later on. He needed it for Parnassah. And others studied books on medicine, so those books they wouldn't confiscate. But those who had books, novels, apikursish books, so those that wasn't permitted. So the Netziv understood that not everybody's going to become a rov, and some of the people have to work for a living, and they're not just going to become bali malacha, they have to read some books in order to study. So he gave an interpretation in this Mishnah. He was guessing. So he said, for a person to be able to paskin a shaila in economics, daf good fashtein economics. A person has to paskin a shaila in medicines. He has to understand medicine. For a person to paskin an electricity on Shabbos, he has to know a lot of physics. And in kashrus, you have to know a lot of chemistry. So what do you do? Let's say people ask me, Shabbos a lot in kashrus. I don't know the chemistry. So I have to have someone explain it to me. Then in the OU, used to have a chemist work there in the office. So she had a Mrs. Lev, so she had to explain. I never took any chemistry, so she had to explain and explain and explain. Because I didn't know anything. So she, every time I had a Shabbos, she had to explain to me 10 times till I understood it. And others were fortunate, other people of Paschal Shailis, it's not so complicated for them to pick up. So they say that when Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach had to Paschal things on banking, on ribbis, something, so he would have someone from the bank come and give him a private lecture for an hour and explain what the whole union is all about. Then at the end, Rav Shlomo Zalman would say, can you please stay for another few minutes? I want to chazer with you. I want to say it all and make sure that I understood it well. So they say that he had the uncanny knack of telling it over in 5 minutes better, with a better hasbara than the economist gave it to him in the first place. And the same thing when he had a shaila that you had to know physics for the new things, you had to know medicine for the new medical shailas. He was always 3 years before the medicine. They used to come, when they were working on something, they would come to Rav Shlomo Zalman, and he would work out what the psak is, and they already had a psak 3 years before it became mufursim in the world of medicine. Because Rav Shlomo Zalman had already worked it out way before. So this, every time he would need an expert to explain something to him, he would listen to a lecture for 45 minutes for an hour. Then he would chazer it over. He had such a good tfisa. He never went to medical school. He never went to graduate school of chemistry or physics or any economics. He had a good tfisa. He would be able to explain it over to the others better than the way they explained it to him. So the Netziv thinks that that's the pshat about the Shire Lomas. He thinks that there must be 310 areas of study all together, and chemistry and the physics and economics and the medicine and astronomy and hakol bakol mikol kol. He thinks that there must be 310 courses that one has to study in order to master everything. So the Netziv writes, what are you going to do? You're going to say, we can't give anybody smicha that he should have the ability to pass the Nenesh Ailus unless he gets a graduate degree in chemistry and the physics and economics and in the medicine. So one is going to learn his Torah. It's impossible. So the Rabbanu Shlom gives a haftacha, l'hanecha lo avayesh. If a person is serious about learning and he has to become a Moreh HaRuah, some people have to pass Mashalas, so the Rabbanu Shlom will give them the ability to master the 310 disciplines without going to graduate school, without working so hard. That's how Netziv interprets this Mishnah, this memory in the end of Uktzin. Yeah, Shabbos, how does it fit into this Gemara? It doesn't fit in at all in this Gemara. What I was trying to say over here, avayesh, how can the person take so much bracha from the Rabbanu Shlom? It's too much bracha. Where is he going to put it all? So he answers, Rabbi Dimi answers, you're not familiar, you're not sufficiently familiar with Agarita. The Rebbeinu Shalom is going to give every tzaddik shayai lomis, and that'll be the place where he's going to put all of the bracha. It doesn't seem to fit in at all in the Gemara. I don't know. The Tanoim, yeah, the Tanoim had, the Gemara said the Tanoim had Midah Shatar and Adreshes Ben, so they knew how to read from the Psukim how long it takes the pregnancy of a snake and all the things of Teva. We don't even know how the Midah Shatar and Adreshes Ben and Halacha work, the Yud Gil Midas of the Brice and Rabbi Shmo. But Bizman HaTanoim, Mamish, in the early years of the Tanoim, they knew all the Midah Shatar and Adreshes Ben to figure out everything from the Chum. That's true. Hafach Bav Hafach Bav the Kulabah. The child is in the later generation. Even in the later generations, when they don't have the snack at all, so that it's even interprets that that's what the Amoraim was saying. That the Rebbeinu Shlomo will give them Hatzlacha, that they'll be able to gain all of this knowledge without going to school. They'll be able to pick it up on the side without learning the Kviyas. He allowed, that's how they call it, he allowed the Talmidim, who felt that they're going to need all these things for the future, to read the kosher books on the side, not to read the novels, not to read the apikursish books. He allowed them to read books on economics and physics and chemistry and so on, but he didn't want them to go kavua to college or to graduate school. That he was opposed to, and he felt that Talmid HaChamim will be zeiche to this knack and ability. So then the Gemara says, we're going to prove that this has to be the case. The Rebbeinu Shlomo will certainly have to give the ability to the tzaddikim to contain all of the bracha that he wants to give them, because if we find midah tayva, sofer meruba midas paranus, this we know from the other gemaras. Midah tayva meruba midas paranus, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says he's going to punish a rasha, he and his few generations after, but tzaddikim is going to reward le'elavdor, la'alofim, 2,000 doiris, and he's only going to punish the rasha, he and his sons, and only two generations. The Midah Tov and Merubah Midas Paran is 500 times as much. Here the Gemara gives a different proof that this is the case. So the Gemara says that in Tehillim, when it says, but the Rebbeinu Shlom is opening up the gates of heaven, he's opening up the gates of heaven, that rain should come down lebrachas. So it says, Vayitzav shchokamim mal v'dalsu shamayim posach. It says the Rebbeinu Shalom opens up, the Rebbeinu Shalom Mechvod Aviyatzmo, Dal Se Shamayim Posach, the Rebbeinu Shalom opens up the gates of heaven, the losos are the doors of heaven, Vayamter Aleihem Mon Lechol, when he gave them the mon to eat. And when it's a punishment, it says, Varubas Hashmayim Neftoch, it doesn't say the Rebbeinu Shalom opened up, it says they opened up by themselves. The Rebbeinu Shalom is the one who did it, but the Psukim and Tanakh are not going to say that he did it. It says Kilo would happen by itself, and it doesn't say that Dalsus Hashemayim Niftoch. It says Arubas Hashemayim, and Aruba is smaller than a Dal. Aruba is a window, and a Dalus is a door. So a door is much bigger than a window. So the Gemara is proving from this the same idea that it says in the end of Yuma, that Midah Tova Merubah Mimidas Paranus. There it says 500 times as much. Here the Gemara is just saying that it's twice as much, because every Dalus, what, is four, how does Rashi say? Dalus godol me aruba. The dalar aruba is yesh bedalus. A door is the size of four windows. So here it says, arubas hashamayim niftachu. The windows were opened up, and there it says, dalse shamayim posach. So four times as much. Instead of being 500 times as much, here it says four times as much. So okay, once you assume that the midah tova merubah midas paranus, however many times as much, and the pasuk says in the end of Yeshaya, Kodesh Baruch Hu will punish the Rishoyim, Lasid Lavo, V'yatzav Rabbi Figuru HaNoshim HaPoshim Bi. That's the last pasuk in Yeshaya, no? Kiso Latam Lo Samus, V'yishom Lo Tichbe V'hoyu Deira On L'chol Pasach. Kodesh Baruch Hu will cause their bodies to burn. V'yishom Lo Sichbe, the Eish that's going to burn the Rishoyim will not be extinguished. How can that be? What do you mean the Eish is the body of the Rishoyim is going to continue to burn and burn and burn? Boil a mazarik, Mar says, a person gets burnt, he burns his finger, goodbye, the finger's burnt and that's it, there's no more finger to burn. How can it be that a body keeps on burning and burning and burning? So the answer is because of Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to punish them, so he gives them the koyach. Boil a mazarik, the Gemara says, oh, the Moshe that's boy, but who, a person sticks his finger into a fire, or is a fire, boil a mazarik, but the whole finger will get burnt. Elo, the Rebbeinu Shlom will give them koyach that their body should not burn away, in order that they should burn for longer. So just like if the Baruch Shalom gives koyach to the Rishoyim to be mekabel the Peronis, it's a chakal v'chaymer, then need a toivah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give koyach to the Tzadikim to be mekabel the toivah. So that's what the Gemara is coming back to what they said in Amunah. Baruch Shalom is going to give Shai Olam, is going to give the koyach to be mekabel the toivah in such an unusual fashion that we can't even imagine what it means. Cannot be imagined. Now the Gemara goes back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah is speaking about the principle that all the Yidden are going to have Ha'olam Haba, except for the real rotten people who don't belong. So one of the rotten people was one who's Korah B'Svarim HaChitzanim, Rabbi Akiva Eimer. One who reads Svarim HaChitzanim. What's B'Svarim HaChitzanim? Just because it doesn't, it's not part of Tanakh. So the Gemara says, no, Svarim HaChitzanim Tano, and the Brisa says B'Sifrei Tzedukim. He reads books of Apikursus, okay? So he loses his Ha'olam Haba. Rav Yosef Amar, no, it refers to Sefer Ben Sira Nami also Lemikri. It's forbidden to read Ben Sira. So the Shah is, what's wrong? The Gemara quotes many times. The Gemara is going to say later, many things in Ben Sira are good. But if he takes everything in Ben Sira, does Tognish. Some things in Ben Sira are good, and other things are no good. So he says, Amar, I abai. It's abai, yes, because Rebbe Rav Yosef, my time, what's wrong with Ben Sira? Eleno, if it's because it has things that are so obvious, there are evident and the self-apparent. So what does he have to write it? It's extra miuta dichsibe. It says in Ben Sira, loitintosh gilden o meutne. You shouldn't skin a fish from its ear. The lelezel mashke lahavola. In order that the skin shouldn't be wasted, elo you should tzoli yase benuri. You should broil. You should roast the whole fish with a fire with the skin. Ana veechal beitaitan greets him. And have it in a sandwich. Put a piece of bread on top and a piece of bread on the bottom and knead it together so you won't lose the skin. So what does Ben Sira have to give us an eitzah how to broil the fish? Figure out on your own how to broil the fish. It's a little bit too much Olam Haza, like a cookbook. You need that. It's important to read. The women will read a cookbook. The men are going to study this great scholarly work of Ben Sira that tells you how not to waste the fish, how to get the most for your money. So Abai says, so what's so bad about that? It says in Chumash, Bal Tashchis. So this is a commentary on Los Ashkes. He's giving you Mishalim. What's so bad? The Rambam and Moshe, it says in the Halacha, it says in the Chumash that you have to be careful to preserve your good health. So how does one succeed in preserving his good health? So the Rambam gave that back pages and pages in Hilchos Deis. He tells you what's healthy, what's not healthy. A lot of things that the Rambam says are healthy are now not considered healthy. A lot of things that are not healthy are considered today. They are healthy. And the Rambam says that if you follow all the instructions that I give you, I will be achroi, I'll be the orev that you're going to be healthy. Sure. So the Rambam spells out A, B, C, D, everything he spells out. That's okay, that's the way it's supposed to be. So Abai says, so what's so bad? And the Chumash, it gives the rule, Bal Tashchis. So Ben Sira gives you more detail, says, an aspect of Bal Tashchis is, and he tells you in the Maisa, how to broil your fish. So what's so bad about that? And Imid Rosha, and if you'll understand that pasuk in Ben Sira, not kipshuto, the simple pshat, sorry, you can't call it a pasuk, it's not Tanakh. If you, that line, that sentence in Ben Sira. So if you take the sentence in Ben Sira, kipshuto, that is telling you how to broil fish, then what's up there? He's telling you not to lose out, to get your money's worth from the fish, not to be over on Bal Tashchis. And the additional level of interpretation that he's not at all referring to fish, he's referring to marital relations, that a person shouldn't be boa lishto, shaloi kedarka, that's not proper. So what's so bit? Orach harika mashmalah, the little level, shaloi kedarka, what's so bit? So he gives you eitzes, he's telling you what's derech eretz. So what's so terrible if someone writes a book, so it doesn't nishkem in the kisvei HaKodesh, what's so bit? El mishum nichsibbe, is it because there's another line in Mansur, why does Rav Yosef say that Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah says one who reads Sifar Machitzayim loses his Olam Haba because he's reading Ben Sira? What's so terrible about Ben Sira? What's the bitl Torah? He's telling you how to fulfill the pasuk in the Chumash. L'sashchis, he's telling you derech eretz. He's telling you derech eretz. Ve'el mishum dechsev, because there's a line in Ben Sira that says basli abim atmai neshav. The father thinks he has a daughter instead of getting a son. This is a blessing. A son, you have no skusim on the son. A daughter, you have skusim. He has a right to sell his daughter as an Oma Ivriya when she's a ketan. He has a right to sell, but Rashi and Chumash quotes the Gemara in Kiddush in the first parak. A father has to be abnormal. Which crazy father is going to sell his daughter as an Oma Ivriya? But when the baby girl is born, he doesn't think so. He has so many skusim. He can sell a daughter as an Omri Vriya, and then later on, if there'll be an Oynes and Mefate case, he'll get the money. Cholila, who wants to have an Oynes and Mefate case? When he's going to marry her off, the case of Kiddushin goes to the father, what's he going to take the ring? The chosen gives the ring. The girl wants to wear the ring on her hand. He's going to give her a lollipop. So what's he going to do with the lollipop? She's going to eat the lollipop. What? So the father may think he has a matmoines, but he has a lot of money here. He's making a lot of money on the daughter, but it's a matmoines shov. It's really a narishkeit. The cheshmon that the father makes when his wife gives birth to a daughter as opposed to a son, it's a narish cheshmon. Why? And mipachto leyishan balaylo. And he's going to be so concerned about the daughter. If he has a son, he won't be so nervous. If he has a daughter, he's always going to be so nervous, he won't be able to sleep at night. When she'll be a little girl, bekatnusa, he's going to be afraid, shemet tispata. When she's going to be a naira, he's going to be afraid, shemet tizana. When she's going to be a bagra, and she's no longer b'shus avia to marry her off, she's going to be nervous, how's she going to get a shidduch, lotinasi, maybe she'll never get married. And even if she is married already, shemet yulabanim. Who knows if she's going to have children? Yeah, parents always worry about their sons and their daughters. So the Gemara is interpreting that line in Ben Siro that the father always worries more about the daughter than about the son. Then his kino, after she already is mature, she already married off her children, then she has nothing to do. So when we're afraid, Shema Tasek Shafim, and her old day, she has nothing what to do. So Batolam Avila Day Shiamum, the day Zima, what's going to happen? So the father is always nervous about the daughter. So the Gemara says, is it that Rabbi Akiva was unhappy about reading Ben Siro because of the stupidity of this sentence that he has? So the Gemara says, what's wrong? The Tanoim also said the same thing. The Gemara says in the end of Kiddushin, the last daf in Kiddushin, you need baby boys and baby girls. Without boys and girls, you can't have a next generation. And it's the fortune of the person who has sons. And it's the Rachmanis and the parents who have a lot of daughters. It's better to have sons than to have daughters. So you see, the Tanoim are also saying the same thing. Ben Siro is just spelling out what the concerns are. He's more explicit than the Tanoim. Tanoim just said, Balosh and Nikia, they didn't go into the details, and Ben Siro goes into the nitty-gritty details of why it's worse. So what's so bad about that line, Abayi says? What's Azogi fella? Must be that there's a different line that he doesn't like. There must be some silly, stupid, foolish things in Ben Siro that Rabbi Akiva is unhappy about. So it's like reading comic books, like reading joke books. So if you get used to reading Narishkeit, so then it's going to be made with a day bitl Torah, and that's why it's saying L'cheil Gelamabo, because this will be margal him. This will be margal him to bitl Torah. So the Gemara says, what could it be that's Narishkeit that he doesn't like? So he says, maybe the following line, Ela Mishum Dechsiv, it says in the book of Ben Siro, says, L'tel Davya Belibach, the Gabri Guvrin Kotol Davya. Even healthy people, if they get, if they're aggravated, or if they're anxious, or if they're full of worries, even a healthy person can get a heart attack and die. So the Gemara says, that's what it says in Mishlei. Shlomo Melech wrote that in Mishlei. So what's the shlech that he says the same thing? Dog b'levish yisichena. It's very unhealthy to have a dengus, to always be worrying. Then the Gemara just derech agav comments on that pasuk in Mishlei. How do you translate the word yisichena? Dog b'levish yisichena. The Gemara says there was a machlokes amarayim. Some amarayim interpreted yisichena b'daita. You should dismiss it from your mind. Misiach das from it. And others said yisichena lachem. You should tell it over to others and get it off your chest. The Chavetz Chaim writes in one place in his sefer, he doesn't really think that it's a machlokes what you should do. He says it depends how serious the dangas are. If they're light, Dengue is not that deep. So yisichena melibo. So just make up your mind that you're not going to talk about it, you're not going to think about it, and it'll just go away by itself. Shine. And if it's serious dengue, it's more serious dengue, and then it's not going to, you can't just make up a hachlota yisichena melibo, yisichena melibo. So then you have to talk it over to someone else. Yisichena lachem. When you tell it over to someone else, that's the way you get it off of the chest. So he thinks, the Chavetz Chaim writes, he doesn't think it's a machloikis. He thinks that one is talking about a more serious dengue and one is talking about a less serious dengue. Then another place, the Chavetz Chaim talks about what it means, yisichenem l'acherem. Let's say a person is very aggravated, so he goes to a psychologist, he goes to a psychiatrist, whatever. So he tells the whole story, why he's so aggravated. So the story is going to contain a lot of lashon hara. It's going to tell that his shviga cursed him and his boss is angry at him. So it's going to tell a lot of lashon hara. So what's that to tell lashon hara? So he says it's permissible, he gives a heta for practicing psychologists and psychiatrists, he says it's permissible to listen because it's the toelos lahabo. Usually we think of L'Tayelis, that the Chafetz Chaim has a lot about that. You're permitted to tell Lashon Hara, L'Tayelis Labo. Usually I tell you that Pliny is plotting to kill you, so you better watch out. You think that he's your best friend. They told Gedalia ben Achikam that they're out to kill him, and he wasn't Mekabel Lashon Hara. The Gemara says in the end of the Nida, he refused to be Mekabel Lashon Hara, and then they assassinated him. And then he got killed. So the Gemara says it was his own fault. He should have, you're not allowed to be Mekabel Lashon Hara, but Abel Mechash Mil Lavoi. He should have done something to protect himself. You have to listen and to hear and to keep it in mind, to be careful. So the Gemara says, whenever it's the toelas lahabo, whenever it's for the welfare and the good being of the other person, so there's no prohibition of telling over Lashon Hara. What if it's not the toelas for the psychologist? He's going to make money, I don't know, but you can make money whatever I say. You can charge me by the hour. But if it's the toelas for me, I'm telling Lashon Hara about my shviger and my wife and my rebbe and my next door neighbor and my boss, telling all the lashon about those people. But the toelis is not for them, the toelis is for me, because I am so aggravated, I'm falling to pieces. I need a psychiatrist, a psychologist, whatever, to calm me down. So it's l'toelis labo for me. So the Chafetz Chaim said, that's also mutar. That's very interesting. L'toelis labo for the one who's telling the story. It's not the toelis for the listener. It's not Lito Ellis for the one about whom I'm telling the Lashon Hara. So he says, also Mutah is Lito Ellis Lavo. As it says in the Gemara, Yisichen Alachem, you get it off of your chest, you tell it to someone else, so that'll, like the other fellows, the psychologist, so that'll help you ease your aggravation. So the Gemara says, so what's so bad about that line in Ben Sira? That's not a silly line. That line basically says, in Mishlei, Doga B'Leivish Yisichenu, you better get it off of yourself, either Yisichenu Meliboy, you have to get it off, because if you don't get it off of your chest, it can eat you up. Even if you're very healthy, you can get sick over the aggravation. So basically it says that in Mishlei. So it's a good advice for life. So what's wrong? Maybe it has some other silly lines in Ben Sira. It says, Menah Rabbi Mitoch Besecho, don't have too many people coming inside your house. Menah Rabbi Mitoch, that's what it says in Ben Sira. Aloha called Tobi Yabba said, don't allow everyone to come in. So the Gemara says, what's wrong? That's what Rebbe says. Rebbe Omer, Yol Mi'ar Rodem Rei Mitoch Beis. You shouldn't have too many friends. It's nice to have a lot of friends, but don't let them all come inside your house. They'll take away your privacy. Ish Reim Lehisro Eya. As it says in Mishlei, a person has a lot of friends, that'll break him. In the end, that'll break him. It's no good to have too many friends. You have to have a small group of friends, and that's all. So what's so bad about this thing that it says in Ben Sira? Or it says, no, it must be about the following thing. It says silly things in Ben Sira. It says, Zal Dokon, if a person has a shvachet beard, a straggly beard, he's going to be kurtaman. He's going to be very sharp and clever. That's not his stupidity. And if he has an av Dokon, if he has a thick beard, he's a sachsan, he's a moron, he's an idiot. But the thick beard and the thin beard shows what he's a. This is stam shtus in lavon. It's like reading a comic book. So that's what Rabbi Akiva said. One who reads comic books, he's going to get used to Bittul Torah, and he's going to lose Adam Abba because of Bittul Torah. He says, the Nofach, it says also in Ben Sira, the Nofach, the Kaseh, if a person has a cup of beer, let's say he fills in the beer, he says he's thirsty, he'd like to have a cup of beer. And then it has the foam on top, so he blows away the foam because he doesn't want to drink it. So this is a demonstration that he can't be too thirsty. If he's really thirsty, he would drink it. If he's thirsty, he'd drink it with the foam. So it's an indication he's not so thirsty. Or if a person says, I'm starving, please give me some food, I'm chalashing from hunger. So years ago, everybody used to eat a lot of bread. So if they give him a slice of bread, he says, oh, what can I smear on the bread? I have to smear something on the bread. He can't just eat bread alone. Obviously, he's not so hungry. If he'd be hungry, he would eat the bread. He'd be mevater on the spread that you want. If he asks, but my echalachma, if he asks, what should I smear on? What spread do you have to put on the bread? Is lachna sabmine, take away the bread, because obviously he's not so hungry. If a person has two different beards, and there's a big crack in the middle, the beard has a split in the middle, is he's going to be so clever, he's going to conquer the whole world. Just because he has two sides to the beard. So that's what he says. These are silly things. So that's why Rabbi Kiva was upset by those who read Ben Sira, because he has a lot of stupidities, and it's like reading a comic book and a Margulion Bittelper. But nonetheless, Rabbi Yossi says, but there are good things in Ben Sira. So someone should abridge Ben Sira and take out the good things, and that you should read.
It's good to read a good book. Even if a guy reads a good book and he has good eitzes, the boss is shlech. If you can find the same eitzes in the Gemara and the Midrash, so you don't need the guy's book. But if you don't have in the Gemara, so read it. He says, "Mili mali sediz be darshina lohu." If there are good things that appear in Ben Sira, so we should say not darshina. We don't darshin it. We should say it over in public. We should preach it to the Balabatim and tell her. For example, the Gemara says this comes from Ben Sira. Isha toivo. If a person has a good wife, this is obviously a reward from heaven. This is a matana min hashamayim. And if a person has a miserable wife, isha ro, is a sickness taras labayla, and the only way to solve the problem is to get rid of the wife and divorce her. Don't stick it out with the wife, you'll suffer li'olam vod. So he says, this is taka. My takanti garshenim beisav, yisrabim mitzarah, to get rid of the wife. So he says, these are good eitzes. You have to know when to apply. These are good eitzes. What does he mean that the Isha Toiv is Matana Toiv, he the Marshon, the other Mephoshim is? The Gemara says on the first daf in Saito that Aboyim Yom Kodim Mitzirus Avlad, the Bas Kol determines Bas Plani Le Plani. So what do you mean? He didn't develop. Everybody has Pchir Chavshis, the Tzadik or Rosh. So what do you mean? When a person has a wonderful wife, that's a reward from heaven. What do you mean a reward from heaven? This was determined in the very beginning. And the mamash at the beginning of the conception. So how can it be that this is true? Isha toiva is matana toiva. So you must assume that not all shidduchim are, not all zivugim are minosham, not all zivugim are determined before the person develops. Some of the zivugim are determined, withholding by shidduchim at the age of 20, 25. So then if he gets a good shidduch, that's a matana, that's a schar min hashamayim. You see from this gemara that not all zivugim are determined when the babies were born. When is there an exception to the rule? So the gemara... The gemara says in the end of the mashal, says the gemara says in the end of Moed Katan, you can be mishani, you can break the gzera min hashamayim by the tefillah. If you daven shtark, you can break this gzera min hashamayim. And then it'll be, the Zivig will be Lefi Maisav again. So there are cases where the Zivig is Lefi Maisav. The Rambam writes in the Shemoneh Prokim, the Hakdamah to Pirkei Avos, he has eight chapters of Hakdamah that doesn't have a name, so that all, everybody calls it Shemoneh Prokim La Rambam. So he writes that people are given Bechira Choshes, Hakko B'dei Shemayim Chutz B'Yir Shemayim. So people are given Bechira Choshes, and this is part of Bechira Choshes, that... If I'm going to marry a tzaddikus and she's going to keep me in line, so that means that min hashamayim they're causing me to marry the tzaddikus. So that means I'm not going to have bechira chavshus. They're forcing me min hashamayim to do mitzvahs. I'm going to marry a girl that's not interested in being so religious. Not interested in keeping all the mitzvahs. So that's going to cause me. It's going to be very difficult for me to keep the mitzvahs if my wife is not interested. So the Rambam says, how can you assume that this zivugim min hashamayim? The Rambam writes once in a while. If a person is a miserable Russian, he deserves a big einish, so they'll give him, like the Gemara says, Isha ro is a tzaras labayla, that's an einish min hashamayim. And Isha toiva once in a long while, that's a schar, an unusual case, a person will deserve reward min hashamayim. But he says, on the normal conditions, the Rambam writes, this is all part of bechira chavshes. If you want to be frum, so make sure you marry a nice frum girl. You want to go the wrong direction, so you'll pick the wrong girl, and you'll go together. You'll go together to Gehenna, you'll both do together. So that's what on the bottom of the Shemana Prakma La Rambam, when they have it printed in the regular big Gemaras in the Vilna Shas, they have short comments. Rabbi Yaakov Emden on the bottom of the page. So he says, this Rambam is wrong because it's against the Gemara. The Gemara says that only Bezivik Sheni, but Bezivik Rishon, it's all Min HaShemayim. So how can the Rambam say if I cared for the Gemara? That's Rabbi Yaakov Emden says. It's against the Gemara, it's wrong. So the Neiri on the first daf in Soito, when the Gemara says "Kam Zivig Rishon, Kam Zivig Sheni," so he says he translates the words according to the Rambam. He says Zivig Rishon means if the boy and the girl get married at a very young age, the boy is barely bar mitzvah; he's only bar mitzvah. He gets married, so you don't know what's going to be for the kids. Like he says, "Vayigdulu hanori, hayi esav, ish yevet zayin, yankiv ishtam yeshu l'ham." So Rashi quotes in the Medrash, calls man that they were little children. They both went, they couldn't tell a difference. After they mature, after bar mitzvah, then you can tell what direction they're going, to the right or to the left. So if a boy gets married, he just barely bar mitzvah, he gets married, and the girl is also a young girl, so you don't know where, what's going to be. You can't say, Eim Zav Gmele Lo'adam El Ziva Gelu Lefi Maisav. What's the Maisav? We don't know where he's going to go. We don't know what direction he's going. You don't know what direction she's going. So the Miri says, that's called Ziva Grishin. When a couple gets married at a very young age, he said, that's Menashe Amayim. But by us, everything is Zivik Shem. We're all Zivik Shem. A boy gets married at 23, 24, 25, whatever, he's already an older boy. A girl gets married at the age of 18, 19, 20. So the Miri writes, that's all Zivik Shem. Zivik Rishon has if they get married when they're 13 or 12. So that's a Vasko Menashe Amayim. So he says, he understands, according to the Rambam got married in an older age. The Rambam is older than 25. He's pretty old when he got married. But most people today don't get married at such a young age. So that's what the Rambam meant, that everything is Zivik Shem in this manner. And there are rare cases, the Gemara says, that Isha Toiva is a Matana Toiva. That's a reward. That's a Schar. That's a Schar Menashe Amayim. Elaborates on the theme. You should be careful. If your neighbor has a very good looking wife, don't be too friendly. Don't spend too much time in his home. You may fall in love with the wife. Don't look for trouble. Some of these are lines from Ben Sirim that you shouldn't reveal your personal confidential secrets to all of your friends. Only tell one out of 1,000. You have 1,000 friends, only tell one of them. You don't have to tell everybody because they will reveal your secrets. It's not a smart thing. And even from your own wife, a lot of people today, the young people, they think that the husband and the wife have to identify with each other, and the husband has to tell everything to the wife, and the wife has to tell everything to the husband. They don't tell all the schmutz about the in-laws, so they're not yotzei their unity in marriage. So the Gemara says that that's stupid. This is one of the smart things that it says in Ben Sira. You're not mechuyev to tell your wife everything either. You don't go out of your way to keep secrets from your wife, but you don't have to tell over everything to the wife. Gemara quotes Eitzes. Okay, Gemara quotes Eitzes. Then Gemara has a famous pasuk from Mishlei. Kol yemeoni roim, v'toyv leiv mishti tomid. The poor man is always going to be miserable. The toyv leiv, the person who has a good heart, will always be attending parties. Toyv leiv mishti tomid. What is that referring to? So the Gemara has different interpretations. So one interpretation, the Gemara says, kol yemeoni roim, the people are learning Gemara, it takes them forever till they finish a mesichta, they never make a siyum. And then everything is shver, you got a kashi here, and everything ends up with a tzorchi and gov. We're not too sure. Every sugya, we're not too sure what the maskon is. And the Baal Bata learn Mishnayis every other week, and they can see him on Mishnayis. And celebrity frail, can the gate fight that? No problems, no taisvasin, no marshoz, no rab shimmas, no rab naftovis. Everything goes very easily. Tama Bavli, right? So that's the first comment that the Gemara says. Kol yemeoni roim, the poor man is always suffering. This is a description of Bali Talmud. Those along Gemara, everything is a tzarachin gol. And the toiv leit mishta tome, the people have a good heart. They're always lechele bali mishnayis. Those are the bali batan. Lord mishnayis, everything is very superficial, and they're always making siyumim and parties. And Rabbi holds fakir. No, just the reverse. Kol yemeoni. Koy me'ani roim, he says, ele bale mishnayis, because they know that they don't know what the din really is. They know that the mishnayis are only superficial, and they're running through, and they have 1,000 questions which they don't know the answer for. The toiv leiv mishti tomid, that refers to the people who learn Gemara. Because after you learn Gemara, say, take, a lot of things will remain tzorachi and gadol at the end, but you'll know much more, you'll understand the halachas much better than the people who learn the mishnayis. That's in the end of Hilchas, the very last Ramah, in Shulchan Aruch writes, in Aruch Chaim, he quotes this pasuk, the Toiv Leiv Mishti Tomid. Yeah. So the some of the Mefarshim on the Shulchan Aruch write that he wanted to end off with Tomid because the first line in Aruch Chaim is Shivisa Hashem Negdiv Tomid Zek LaKadol BaTorah. Then in the end he says the Toiv Leiv Mishti Tomid. So he wanted to end off with the same word Tomid that he started off with. Shivisa Hashem Negdiv Tomid. Taz writes a different comment. Shaz writes, what's the last din that the Ramah wrote? There is a machloikis in Rishonim, if you have a Shonim Uberis, and there's another Rishon and another Sheni, so what do you do on Purim Kotan? What are you supposed to do? So the Mishnah says you don't lay in the Megillah on Purim Kotan, and you don't give Shalach Manas, you don't give Matonis Lavim, you don't. So what do you do? So you don't say Tachna. It's also Behesped Vatitis. What about Suda? You have to have a Suda and Purim Kotan on that. So the Rishonim say, it's a machlokes in Rishonim. And so the Ramos says it's a machlokes, and he says it's kedai to be machmir, to have a sudan purim kotan, metoiv leit mishtetomid. The one who has a good heart will always be having parties. He'll have a party on Purim Kotan, he'll have a party on the regular Purim next month also. So the Taz writes over there, there's a strange comment. The Taz writes, he quotes the Mordechai that from the Mishnah in Megillah it would appear that on Purim, it says, Ein bein od derishon lav desheni ala mikrim Megillah matanas lav yonim. So the implication is, linyan suda zebiz hashavim. You have to have a suda even on Purim Kotan. But from the Gemara, the Rishonim all say it's muchach, the Feirish and the Gemara, that there's no suda. So the Taz writes, since there's a contradiction between the mashmos of the Mishnah and the Gemara, and the Ramos says you should go to Chumra, have the suda, v'shapim mesayim haramo, v'toiv leid mishtetam. Why is v'shapim mesayim haramo? So some say that's because it is Gemara. That the toiv leid mishtetam was the first madam, it goes on elim bali mishnayis. Those who read mishnayis will get the mistaken impression that you're supposed to have a suda on Purim Kotan. Those who study Gemara will see the Gemara's befeirish, that you don't have a chiyuv suda on Purim Kotan. The only thing you have is an Issa Hesped V'Tainus, you leave out Tachnun, that's all. But those who learn Mishnayis will get the mistaken impression by reading superficially. So the Mashmoyah sounds like it's implying all the sudas there is a shop. So that's what the Taz, that's what they say the Taz meant. The Shapim, the Saim HaRamah, because from the Mashmoyah of the Mishnayis, the Taz quotes, when the Mishnah is Mashma, you do have to have a Suda. The Ramah recommends you should be Machma to have a Suda, so he says, the Tayyib Leit Mishnah Tomit, alluding to the first Mandam. Then the Gemara has other suggestions. What could it possibly be alluding to? Tayyib Leit, call you me on it, right? Tayyib Leit Mishnah Tomit. So when the next Mandam, Rab Chanina says, one who's happily married, that's the Tayyib Leit Mishnah Tomit. The one who has a miserable wife, was the Gaitim de Yoren, that's call you me on it, right? Zesh Ishlo Isha Ro. Tayyib Leit Mishnah Tomit, Zesh Ishlo Tayyib. The other Amora has another suggestion. Call you may rhyme first to an istinus. A person is oversensitive. I'm a funik. In Tayblay Mishta Tamid, there's a daita yofer. Some people, they can't take dust. They're going to come visit by some. There's dust. There's a slight piece of dirt. They're going to go off their minds. So he said, that's terrible. You should always have a clean home and neat and delicious and tasty. And but when you come to someone else, you shouldn't fall to pieces. That person is too much of a mafunik is miserable. It ruins your life. Honestness is no good. Toiv l'mishtah tam is a daita yofer. Daita yofer is a melitza, means the reverse. That he doesn't take it so seriously if it's not the way he would have liked it. The next Amor also has such a comment. Say rachmoni. If a person has too much rachmonis on other people, he's not going to take everything to heart. They call him up on the phone, Pliny just died. Oh, he's going to get a heart attack, Pliny died. Someone else got sick, someone else married 5 years, don't have any children yet, the other one lost a job. Every bad news he's going to take to heart. It's too much. The person goes through too much emotionally. The Toiv Leit Mishnah Tomit says, Achzori, a person is not so. He doesn't take everything to heart. You have to lead up, sir. It doesn't mean an Achzori. He's an Achzor. It means that he doesn't take everybody else's tzoris too much to heart. You have to take a little bit to heart, but not too much. Then Gemara makes other suggestions. A person is very impulsive, and it has to be this moment, it has to be right now. It's terrible. Take it easy, we'll take care of it. Straighten it out. It doesn't have to be this moment, it doesn't have to be so impulsive. That's Rashi's second shot. It has to be right now. Then Gemara has more suggestions. Then the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, call me on Iroim. The poor man always suffers." Fake more. Why? What about Shabbos and Yom Tov? Everybody has a Shabbos to give meal. So the Gemara, like Shmuel says, "Shineves es tchilas choyli, choyli me'ay." The poor man can't afford all week long. That he just eats a piece of herring and a piece of bread. And then come Shabbos, he eats a whole elaborate meal, so he gets a bellyache from that. Because since the whole week he's eating a bupkis, and then come Shabbos, Shineves is when he changes his routine. What he eats, that's going to make him get sick also. These were all different suggestions. Well, just saying about the leading a normal life, all the suggestions are correct. Why is it the person has to pick out the Derech HaMemutza? The person goes to one extreme or the other, Teichnish, that's call you me on a run when a person is an extremist. Then the Gemara comments, Tana Rabbananam, Abraisa Masechas Kalo, Shira Shirim, if you just read it without the tradition of the Torah Shabbat, it sounds like it's a love story between a boyfriend and a girlfriend. So the Gemara says it's supposed to represent, Shira Shirim is Kodesh Kodoshim, supposed to represent the Ahava between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael, and it's not to be taken literally. So HaKari Pasuk Shal Shar Shiv, also as the Kimin Zemer, a guy goes to the saloon, and where the Shikurim are drinking and is singing songs about their girlfriends, like on the radio they always have. So he's going to sing Pesukim Shar Shiv. That's a Bizoyin HaTorah. Maybe Ro'al Olam, that's terrible. HaTorah Chogar Esak. The Torah is going to be in Avelis and mourning and complain to the Rabban Shalom. They made a joke out of the Shir HaShirim. This is a shaila. Is this only referred to Shir HaShirim because it's a love song, so the person is taking it in the secular sense? Or Rashi sounds like he understands that in Tanakh we have a correct trope, and you're supposed to read a nigin on every given pasuk, so you're not allowed to read any pasuk in Tanakh, love dafka sheshim. You're not allowed to recite any pasuk in Tanakh with any nigin other than the nigin of the trope. So that's how it sounds from Rashi. That's how the Mogen Avraham understood. So the Mogen Avraham, in fact, Takash, everybody sings Shir HaMalos. Everybody has a different niggun to Shabbat, but nobody sings the niggun of the truck. Or Shadabim is Hashem Raya Vilayachman, especially you haven't sang it. Nobody sings the niggun to the truck. Everybody sings a different niggun, but nobody sings the truck. Or Kama Vakama Psukim like that. We have a lot of niggunim for Psukim. So the Mogen Avraham asked the Kashas, so and the Mogen Avraham says, whatever psukim nobody sings the niggun of the trump. Everybody sings whatever niggun their father has. No one sings the trump. So the Mogen Avraham says, whatever is printed in the siddur, and the minig is that we say a niggun other than the trump, that's okay. Whatever is printed in the siddur, shver vod, and the zmiris, a lot of the zmiris end off at the end of every stanza has a pasuk. So never heard that anybody's makpid to say. So says, no, whatever is printed in the siddur is okay. Onginum in the kubal. Shverevot. Rav Moshe has a tshuva where he complains about the Chazonim that they compose nigunim to all of the psukim and it's against the din of the Gemara. So he says, Mistama the Chazonim rely on some unknown shita that we're not familiar with. He doesn't have any reason. He says this, that it only goes on Shir HaShirim. It's only because he's secularizing Shir HaShirim and you're treating it as a love song. You're singing in the saloon like the Goyim are singing, Shikar Goyim are singing to the love songs to the girlfriends. So he's using Shir HaShirim in a secular sense. But Moshe says he does know whose pshat that is. This time of that's the way it sounds in Masechus Kala. If you look at Masechus Kala, they say that's the impression that you get. So the Gemara says, when you have a Suras Mitzvah, Pesach Shavuot Sukkos, you should take a drink and say Divrei Torah. That's wonderful. But you shouldn't make Shir HaShirim. You shouldn't sing Shir HaShirim when you're having a Suras HaRishus. Unless you're going to succeed in converting the Suras HaRishus into a Suras Mitzvah, because you'll have so much Divrei Torah, the whole Suda will be revolving about the Divrei Torah. That's wonderful. But some people make Suras HaRishus that's not right. Make Suras HaRishus, and then they throw in Divrei Torah, which don't really affect the rest of the Suda, so then it's going to be a bizayon to the Torah. But if you carry Pasuk Bizmanoi, a Pesach Shavuot Sukkos, and you say Divrei Torah, but it fits into the occasion, so then it enhances it. Dover beat them up, then it enhances it. Then he's maybe Toivoloi. And if he's secularizing the Tanakh, so then it's maybe Roloi.
By Hanukkah, you can say she was the Sishmokos.
Yeah, if you thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, the Ramazan, right. If you express your gratitude towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Yeshuas and the Nechamas, and then it's considered a Suras Mitzvah. It becomes a Suras Yalochas that can only be done with Kesef, and Shavu Kesef is no good. One of them is Pidyam Ha'isa Sheni, can only be done with Kesef, Shiesh Olof Tzura. It can't be Pidyam Ha'isa Sheni, Shavu Kesef. So